Well, our sermon this morning picks up from the story that we heard earlier from Acts chapter 12, verses 9 through 17. Peter went out and followed the angel. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane when suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." As soon as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many had gathered and were praying. When he knocked at the outer gate, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she insisted that it was so. They said, "It is his angel." Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the gate, they saw him and were amazed. He motioned to them with his hand to be silent and described for them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he added, "Tell this to James and to the believers." Then he left and went to another place. Thank you, God, for a chance to learn more about our biblical sisters and explore their stories. Well, March is Women's History Month, and as I do each March, I present a sermon series on lesser-known women of the Bible. So today we're going to start with a rather amusing story of a woman named Rhoda who has a decidedly modern problem. She speaks and no one believes her. So we heard the backstory earlier that Herod had John's brother James killed and was out for more blood, buoyed by the people's seeming acceptance of the murder. The disciples had been preaching and teaching and reaching thousands of people with the message of Jesus Christ, and more people were joining their ranks. There was a lot of flack and a lot of pushback against this new religious movement, but the disciples were bold and vocal and kept working despite the danger and threats. They surely must have been dismayed when James was killed, but that only made them even more determined to continue to spread the word. But now Peter, their leader, had been arrested, and things didn't look too good for him. It seemed as though he was fated to die a martyr's death at the hands of Herod. So what did the believers do? They gathered together and began to pray for Peter. That is always a sensible thing to do when you're down and daunted, when you're afraid and alone, prayer can get you through. And praying together with other believers is a blessing and a duty. But it's interesting to think about this prayer party for Peter. What were they praying so fervently for? For Peter to have peace at his impending death? Dare they pray for Peter to escape from prison? No, that was impossible. He was under heavy guard, chained to two soldiers. How could he ever escape from that situation? But as we heard, that is exactly what happened. An angel woke Peter up. And after melting the chains from his wrist, he led Peter out of the prison, passing guards unseen and opening locked gates for him. Once he realized it wasn't a dream and he was really free, Peter headed to Mary's house and knocked on the door. Rhoda came to answer. Who was Rhoda? Well, the scripture only says she was a maid and she was on the scene, but was she part of the prayer circle? Was she a believer too? She was entrusted to answer the door, and really, that was kind of a risky thing to do. Knowing Herod was primed to persecute and even execute the followers of Christ, how could they be sure the person knocking wasn't a soldier coming to arrest even more of the disciples? Was Rhoda a bit uneasy as she went to the door? What if indeed it was some soldiers and they tried to barge in, run her over to invade the prayer meeting and haul everyone present off to jail? Why didn't one of the guys go to the door instead of her, or at least accompany her to the door just in case? Was it a matter of the others saying, "We're too busy praying, you go answer the door"? Rhoda must have crept to the gate with a thudding heart. Her head was on the line too. Believer or not, she was guilty of associating with the disciples, and a raid could sweep up a maid, too. Trying to sound brave, Rhoda asked, "Who is it?" And the familiar voice came to her. "It's me, Peter. As a servant in Mary's household, Rhoda certainly must have been present when Peter preached or taught. She must have listened to him countless times, and so she knew his voice. She was overjoyed to realize it was Peter. She had been listening to all these prayers going up to God on Peter's behalf. Keep Peter safe, God. Keep Peter calm, God. Let Herod change his mind about killing Peter, God." But the prayer they didn't dare to voice had been answered. Which of them had the audacity to pray, "Set Peter free, God"? And yet this was the prayer God had heard. A prayer that asked God to show God's power and protection. A prayer that seemed impossible, so impossible that Peter's friends didn't even think about praying it. And yet, this was the prayer God answered. So what did the disciples do when Rhoda ran back and told him, "It's Peter, he's here, he's free"? Did they jump right up and run to the door as she had, eager to welcome Peter back into their midst? No. They sat where they were. They didn't believe Rhoda. Why didn't they believe her? Because she was a servant? Because although she was in the house and present at their meeting, maybe she wasn't a believer? Because she was a woman and women weren't taken seriously? As frustrating as it must have been for her to be disbelieved, Rhoda was in good company. The women who had first witnessed the empty tomb after Jesus' resurrection weren't believed either. Peter himself and the other disciples thought their story was an idle, empty tale. Now, echoing that moment, Rhoda's good news was dismissed just as those other women's good news had been dismissed, and not so very long before this. "You're crazy," everyone present told her. Then they tried to mansplain it to her, telling her that it wasn't really Peter, it was just his angel, his ghost. Their prayers, they thought, had not been answered, and now Peter was dead. How much time did they waste arguing with Rhoda? As Peter stood outside the gate knocking, Herod's soldiers could have sounded the alarm about his disappearance, and they could have come looking for him. He was vulnerable, unarmed, and now he was a fugitive, and he was desperate for them to take him in. And they were arguing with Rhoda. "You're wrong. You're crazy." "No, I'm not. It really is Peter out there knocking." How long did it take for them to say, "Well, let's go and see. Let's just open the door and find out who's out there. We'll prove Rhoda wrong." When they saw Peter, they were amazed. And kudos to Rhoda for sticking to her story. She knew what she knew, and she wasn't going to back down. However much they scoffed at her and called her crazy, once they opened the door and saw it was Peter, I wouldn't blame her if she cried out, "See, I told you so." Rhoda was in good company. How many other women down through the ages have told a true tale and yet weren't believed? How many other womanly voices have been silenced as they strove to speak their truth and be heard, to have their feelings validated, their experiences respected, their solutions and their promise and their insights accepted? Hashtag me too, Rhoda. I wonder if they apologized to Rhoda. Even more important, I wonder if they apologized to God, to refusing to believe God had power beyond their imagining to do something mighty and magnificent, such as setting Peter free, taking him out of the very bowels of the prison and bringing them back to him. How could they gather and pray and say they relied on God's power and yet have a part of themselves believing that God couldn't set Peter free? They were in chains themselves. They needed freeing just as much as Peter did. They were wrapped in chains of doubt and disbelief and scorn. Did they not realize? Do we not realize that we worship an above and above beyond God who can and will do things we deem impossible, things we dare not pray for? With God, all things are possible. Ephesians 3:20 reminds us, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to God be honor and glory and praise." How many times have we neglected or even refused to see God's answer to our prayers directly in front of us, knocking right at our very own doors? How many times have we said to ourselves, "Oh, God can't do that. That's impossible." God freed Peter from a well-guarded prison. What can't God free you from? What chains can God not melt away from your wrists as well as your heart? What are you afraid to ask God for? complete healing, complete power, complete freedom? What answer to your prayer is standing outside your gate right now? Why are we so surprised when God answers our prayers? Isn't that what God wants to do, loves to do? Break chains, open prison doors, send us forth safely. The prophet Isaiah spoke one of God's promises. I will open before him the two-leaved gate, will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Rhoda may not have been a believer. Rhoda may not have had any status since she was a servant girl, but Rhoda had seen for herself how God answers prayer. And in that moment of delight and release, when despair gave way to joy, when seeing was believing and hearing led to hope, Rhoda answered the call. May we do the same. Let us pray. O God of divine deliverance, forgive us for those times when we doubt your power and your ability to do what seems to us to be impossible. Take away the chains that bind our hearts and our hands and open wide the prison doors for us. Set us free so we may praise and serve you forevermore. Amen.